Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on August 7th already. Can you believe it's August? I'm sitting here, I'm coming into the station, and I am live at the Wham Studios. And I'm coming into the station, I'm lamenting the fact that, oh gosh, it's already August, and I'm thinking about, I walk in and I say hi to Derek, and I say, can you believe it's already August? And I'm thinking he's going to go, yeah, I know this. But how did you respond, Derek? You have a positive, upbeat attitude. What did you say?
I said football season is just around the corner, about a month away.
Absolutely. Always on the bright side, and especially because it's a sports thing. So we sat and talked about Michigan football, didn't we? And what is your prediction?
I would like to be optimistic about the upcoming season, given the fact that the head coach, Jim Harbaugh, did an overhaul on his coaching staff. But legitimately, I think they probably win 8 games. That's about the watermark for right now.
Yeah, and say, you know, he came up with almost the same answer for the Lions, didn't you?
Yeah, their new head coach, I've seen this before with Rod Marinelli. He was this kind of rah-rah type of coach. The Lions started off well under Marinelli, 6-2, his first season. Then all of a sudden, they lost 7 of their last 8 games, and that was the end of the Rod Marinelli experiment, pretty much. So I have to wait and see with Dan Campbell.
Yeah. So what's on the agenda for tomorrow's show, by the way?
I am going to be recapping my top performances of the Summer Olympics for Team USA.
Okay. Are you're not going to be highlighting the people making or turning their self on the bat, on the flag, or making X marks on with their arms and stuff like that, right?
No. No. Nope, just the patriotic American swimmers.
Excellent.
Caleb Dressel, Katie Ledecky, and Bobby Fink, who came out of nowhere. Nobody really knew about him. He wins both the 800 and 1500 meter freestyle races. Just unbelievable.
What a cool story that is. So that'll be good. I'll be listening tomorrow. Let's see. So what do we got? We got in Michigan, we got the... I thought this is kind of weird. In the Upper Peninsula at the Escanaba State Fairgrounds, they have the Labor Day Gun and Knife Show starting yesterday, August 3rd through 5th. This whole thing is screwed up. So, A, they don't know what the weekend is, and B, they don't know it's not Labor Day. I don't know what's going on with the Upper Peninsula. Maybe they're just behind the times or something. I don't know. Let's see. We also have today only the Sportsman Swap Meet and Gun Show at Perch Point Conservation Club in Casco Township. I don't know where that is, but sounds like Perch Point. Well, that sounds like you've got a good chance of getting some perch there. So I went, and I love perch. I like perch, and I like, what are the other ones that run in the smelt? I love smelt. So at any rate, let's see. In Ohio, we got the Ghost Town Gun Show in Findlay and the Lowellville Gun Show at the Lowellville Rod and Gun Club in Lowellville, Ohio. And in Missouri, Higginsville, Lions their Gun and Knife Show, the Kansas City Gun and Knife Show at Homefield, Kansas City, and the Pacific Gun and Knife Show, which sounds pretty funny being in Missouri, which is far from the Pacific Ocean, but the Pacific Eagle Lodge is having their gun show, and New York actually has one just for tomorrow, and I love this name of this place because there's one right out here near, by Chelsea, called Unadilla. It's the Unadilla Gun Show and Flea Market in Unadilla, New York, not Unadilla, Michigan, which has a neat, there's a little store. I remember there's a general store, and they have an ice cream counter, and you can go in and get, well, you know, this was actually 40 years ago, so I don't, I assume they still have it. So also coming up this week is the handgun bowling pin shoot at Tri-County Sportsman's League, which is always fun, and I've always talked about the bowling shoots, and they're a lot of fun to do. So Head on out to Tri-County tomorrow. And then I wanted to say the story. I got a call from listener Chuck, and Chuck is actually a friend of mine for many, for over 40 years now, probably 43 years, something like that. I've known Chuck, 42 years I've known Chuck. And so at any rate, I got a call from him, and he was telling me about a story in the Ann Arbor Observer. Now, I haven't seen it because I used to subscribe to it online, but it was like it's like one of these things. I did an interview with them several years ago. They gosh, that was probably 4 years ago or so, and 4 or 5 years ago, and they did a very nice story talking about the radio show, and I talked about, you know, being a gun instructor and gun safety and all that. Very fair and balanced story. So I had, so that I could get access to it to see it, I got a subscription to it. But that expired 4 or 5 years ago. So I don't know if anybody's seen this, but they apparently have a story. And Chuck, if you're out there, 734-822-1600, you can give a call. I want to say that they have a story about the rise in gun violence, okay, and including, you know, in the area, you know, in the southeastern Michigan area and stuff. And so they interview and they talk with Jerry Clayton, who's the Washtenaw County Sheriff, and they talk with the Ann Arbor Police Chief. And guess what they universally blame it on? Believe it or not, do you know what it is? It's the rise in legal gun sales that's leading to all this violent crime. Now, who would have thought it? You know, like there's like 8.8 million new gun owners last year that went out. They must have all gone out and committed crimes with them. That's why they went to the store. That's why they did a background check on their 4370 and all that kind of stuff, just so they could create violent crime. I want to say, what the heck is wrong with you guys that you don't understand what's actually happening out there with the violence and things in society right now? You are the same guys, even though you're law enforcement, you'd be the first to go, oh, yeah, we want to defund the police. Well, not defund. We need more social workers and stuff like that. We need to just focus on you know, maybe these bad guys out there that are, you know, doing drive-by shootings and stuff like that, maybe they were misunderstood as a child. So we need a social worker to talk to them. Maybe their mommy touched their wee-wee when they were a little kid, and, oh, it bothered them so much they're out there having drive-by shootings now. Yeah, that's it, I'm sure. So we need to focus on, it's just like when they want to take the money that is being allocated for COVID relief, which seems to be the major slush fund for all of these states and stuff, to use for things like, oh, well, we'll use it, you know, for gun violence prevention. We'll hire more social workers and we'll get out in there and find out what the reasons are for their gun violence, okay? And by the way, a lot of it happens to be retaliation. Okay, because, you know, this group shoots somebody in that group, so they're not going to rat them out. They're not going to, you know, what is it, snitches get stitches or something like that. They're not going to go out there and say, oh, police, it was Joey of the Crips over here. He shot Freddie of the Blood over here, and so we want you to, like, arrest him or something. No. They go out and retaliate because they don't, if you go to cities like Chicago and stuff like that, they don't even, they've got like a 5 to 10% prosecution rate on gun crimes, solving gun crimes. And you know why? Because nobody saw nothing, right? I didn't see nothing. We don't know who did that. Yeah, they came by and they came out at the gas station and they came out and they shot 3 or 4 people and they got in their car. And we don't recognize a single one of them. We don't know who did that. And then next week they do it. Okay. So get off this bit. I want to say these politicians, by the way, these are all politicians with a capital D after their name. Okay. Get off it and start talking about law enforcement and prosecuting criminals and prosecuting gun crimes and stuff like that. It is not due to legal gun owners. Okay, they're not, the background check thing is not going to have a dent at all on violent crime. Why? because it's not the people that pass the background checks that get involved with this stuff. It's the people that buy them in the black market, on the street, things like that, and they're stolen and stuff. Well, I suppose if we make it hard and so hard for people to buy guns legally, then eventually we'll run out of guns, and then there won't be any for the bad guys to steal anymore. Oh, yeah, that's a good plan. That'll only take, let's see, we got 300 million guns in the country. That'll only take about 10,000 years to run out of guns, because guns are a durable product, okay? Oh, but no, we'll fix it. We'll do the ammunition bit. We'll make it so it's hard to buy ammunition. We'll make them do background checks on ammunition and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Well, many of us have, I think, I've got plenty of ammunition, and I've got enough components to make double or triple that. So I don't know. It's just I cannot get over the anti-gun bent that all these politicians put on. By the way, a lot of those people that were out there buying them, Mr. Clayton and I don't even remember who the Ann Arbor police chief is, but a lot of people who are out there buying those guns and stuff, they happen to be either independents or Democrats, okay, because they're seeing through all this crap. You know, the people in Minneapolis that all said, oh, yeah, we have to defund the police. Well, all the city council people went out and got private police forces to protect them. Yeah, but not so much the people that they are pulling the defunding from, and the police are now they're all calling up going, hey, why are the car hijackings up 800% in our city and stuff like that? Well, maybe because you defunded the police. Well, anyway, read the Ann Arbor. Anybody read the Ann Arbor Observer story? Call me. I guess I got off on a tangent here. I got on a rant. I have a friend that says I get on rants once in a while, so I do. Let's see. And by the way, speaking of this, the darn Michigan State Police, it's August 7th. Hello. You didn't put up your Michigan State Police report yet. I expected it Monday, and I checked it Tuesday, and I looked Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even this morning just in case. And you did not yet you did not. I have to shut that off. Cardinal sin of radio. Make sure you shut off your cell phone. And by the way, that happens to be a listener. And I want to say, listener Carl, you need to call 734-822-1600. Not my cell phone when I'm on the air, okay? Oh, gosh, let's see. So what is the deal with the Michigan State Police not reporting CPLs? Didn't we have any this past month? Well, wait a minute. I know all the classes are full. Maybe Joe was, or Fred, or Susie was on vacation, and you forgot to do it this month, okay? Yeah. Okay, so I ended up with, I actually got a couple of guns this week. And what they are, though, are they are essentially free guns, okay? I'm a sucker for 22s. And I met up with a friend of mine, and he said, "Hey, Dick, I've got a couple of 22s if you'd like them." And one of them is a old Mossberg, which is really cool. And it's actually not a Mossberg. Well, it's made by Mossberg. And I'll tell you what, I've got the phones are ringing off the hook. Like it looks like the NORAD control center out here. Lines are lighting up, strobes are going. So as soon as Derek gets off, I'll be able to find out who is on the line. But so this friend said, "Dick, I've got a couple of 22s I got. Would you like them?" "Sure, I'd like them." He goes, "Well, one of them needs work. It needs some parts and things like that. But it's an old Western, a Ward's Western Field model 04M489B. Well, that's actually, it translates into being a Mossberg Model 50, but it's missing some things. But I love a project like that. So that's a lot of fun. And then And hey, Derek, I've got, I don't know if we've got somebody on the line, but I don't see anything on the call screener list there. Can you tell me who's online?
Oh, actually, if you could you repeat the information about the bowling pin shoot that you mentioned earlier in the program?
Oh, yes, I will. I will. Hold on a second. Let me do that. Just a second. I've got it right here. Tri-County Sportsman's League bowling pin shoot. It is tomorrow. It is from 11:30 a.m., and that's on Moon Road. I think it's 7640 Moon Road. I have to no 8640 Moon Road, out like in between Saline and Ypsilanti. Like, but Moon Road is the extension of State Street where it crosses Michigan Avenue by Walmart and stuff like that. And it is tomorrow from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Shooting starts at 12. Cost for each relay is 20 pins, which is five pins times four tables is $5. So it's a lot of fun, and you can have a good time doing that. So that's out at Tri-County Sportsman's League in Saline. Okay? Let's see. Is there somebody else still holding to?
Oh, actually, that's what the caller on hold wanted to call about. So, yep, that's all I needed. I'll just let her know she got the information, and that should be it.
Great, great. Thank you. I think I've got the call screener screen set up wrong here. At the break, Derek and I will check, because I sent him a note this morning, but I didn't get one back, so I'm thinking I might have done it wrong. So, you know, it's heck not being, that's me. I don't want to say H-E double hockey sticks, you know, as so it's hell being gone for a year and a half and then having to remember how the software works in here. So anyway, so here's this old Mossberg that is a semi-automatic that was only built from 1939 to 1942. It feeds through the buttstock. It's got a little opening in the side. It's a really cool gun. It'll be fun to fix up, and I'm sure that one of my grandsons or granddaughters will enjoy it eventually. But then he gave me another one. And he goes, well, this one's kind of interesting. And he said, it qualifies kind of as a one-piece gun. And I said, really? What is that? And what it is it was buried. Okay, and so I want to tell you, this is actually, I kind of like these guns. This is a Marlin Model 60, which is a semi-automatic tube-fed 22. Very reliable, very popular, rivals the Ruger 10-22. It actually, I think, came out before the 10-22, but the 10-22 has kind of taken over as the leader. But the Marlin is a cool, full-size, neat gun. Well, this one, I got to say, when I saw it, it really qualifies for... Now, if you're going to bury a gun, folks, okay, if you're going to say, oh my gosh, they're coming for my guns, I have to go bury them in the backyard, okay? Well, you got to do some things first, like wrap it up, okay? This one looks like it was just somebody dug a hole and put the gun in and covered it up with dirt. And it is a mess of rust gunk it's solid. It's like one piece. It is a big rust ball where the receiver and the bolt is and stuff. So I'm taking this as a personal challenge to see if I can get this thing running again. Even if I can shoot it one time, it will be a personal challenge that I will have won. So, but do you remember, and I think I posted this on my website, and I know that I'll go back and check. I talked about it a couple months ago, and that is burying guns. And people actually do that, okay? Guns and ammo. And there are products made for it. There are like they're almost like wastebasket-sized plastic or polymer buckets that you have a screw waterproof lid that you can put on it. And you can put handguns, or even some of them are long enough to do long guns. There are plastic bags that you can get that are, they're like a desiccant or a rust preventative that are impregnated in it to keep the guns from rusting, okay? And some people even use those and use like one of those vacuum bag sealers that you can, you know, the people do their venison in it, or they wrap their leftovers in it, and it sucks the air out, and then it seals the end. And I want to say they actually sell those on Amazon. I actually posted a couple of links that showed this stuff for this purpose on Amazon, both the food sealers and the special bags. And also, a lot of times people will even use something like one of the Pelican cases or something that is a waterproof case along with some desiccants and that. So if you're going to bury a gun, by the way, I got to say, if we're at the point where you are having to bury your guns in the backyard, you can't get to them very fast that way. That's a call to arms, folks. If it gets to the point where you're having to bury your guns in the backyard, then it's time to retrieve those guns and use them. So at any rate, they don't just bury them in the ground or you'll end up with a one-piece gun like this one. So I'll keep you posted on that project, okay? Let's see. I did an ammunition search. And the reason is that people are still asking about ammunition. And I heard a friend the other day, actually this is a listener, Chuck, again, and we were talking about qualifying. He's a ex-police detective, policeman and then police detective with Ann Arbor. And he talks about, because he maintains his firearms permits and stuff and qualifying a couple of times a year, they had been at the Ann Arbor, they used to have qualifications like four times a year in case you missed one because you were on vacation or something like that. And they've had to actually change the schedule and stuff because they're having such a hard time finding ammunition. And I got to say, I can find it. Even in the worst of times, you could find it. It just cost more. Okay, and so I thought I'd take a look again, and I'd see, and I did AmmoBuy.com. That's one of the ones I like. It's a consolidator site what you do is you put in what you want. You want handgun ammo, 9mm, all manufacturers, all retailers, and just any type, okay? And it comes up, and it lists them by cost, okay? So the first one that listed is CCI Blazer. They call it Blazer. CCI is the company, but Blazer Brass in 9mm. So it's just full metal jacket target ammo, okay? And a box of 50 is $14.53 or 29 cents a round. That is actually coming back down again to where it's reasonable because there for a while it was a lot more than that. We've got Tom from Detroit on burying guns. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dick. I heard about a guy buried stuff in his backyard. And what I heard of, it was basically gold coins. And, he needed the money. And so he went to dig them up. Trouble was, it was January and he basically couldn't get at them.
You got to remember about frost lines in this state, don't you?
No doubt. Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in.
That is funny. Well, that's about as useful as a gun buried in the frozen ground is about as useful as gold coins buried in the frozen ground where you can't get it, right?
Oh. Yeah, I guess you could just cover them over with concrete instead. It might be easier.
Yeah, I actually have seen, like where people do with their septic tanks, they have now we're actually talking more like bunkers, right? Where they have a tube that can go down through the frost line and get to it. But that's not, that actually would not work very well for guns because then you'd be able to see it. So nothing with a lid, right? You can't go, don't look under that lid over there. That's just my septic tank, really. Oh, yeah, no, it's actually a gun vault, right?
I've heard a lot about people burying stuff and then not remembering where it was.
I've heard of that too. Yeah.
That, and water always wins. I mean, if you're going to bury a gun, you really got to do some serious prep on it, in my opinion, anyway. Yeah.
Well, Tom, thanks for the call today. I appreciate the input. And I can just imagine somebody with a yard that's got like 50 little holes in it because they can't remember where they buried their guns. Okay. See you later. Thanks for calling. Oh, gosh, what a fun topic. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about ammo sales in a bit. Again, this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600. We'll be back in just a minute.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I was going to continue the discussion about ammo sales, but it's actually gun and ammo sales boom. And what's interesting about this, a lot of people don't either know about it, maybe they're new to buying guns because there were like 8.8 million new gun owners last year, plus the other 12 or 13 million other people that purchased guns, did NICS checks and purchased guns, not even counting ammo, because ammo, thank goodness, in most places, there are a couple of states that have tried to put restrictions on ammunition, that you have to have a background check to buy ammunition and stuff. But most ammo sales, the only way to actually track that is by sales reports, not actually, registration information. But the gun and ammo sales boom means record Pittman Robertson dollars. Well, what's that? Pittman Robertson dollars? Well, actually, a lot of people, like I said, don't know this, that the Pittman Robertson Act that was enacted in 1937 set up a wildlife restoration trust fund. And most people don't think of this, but for every handgun, for every long gun or every rifle and shotgun and ammunition, there is an 11% tax on it that goes towards the conservation fund. Okay, it's and for handguns, it's 10%. So it ranges from 10% to 11%. And so what has happened is, since this was set up in 1937, the amount contributed to the fund through all the gun and ammunition sales has now just topped $14 billion. That's with a B, not with a T, trillion or gazillion or what comes after, let's see, there's a trillion and then... Dana Lesh calls frillion. I don't know. What comes after a trillion? I don't know. Gazillion? Super million? Super bazillion gillion? I don't know. Whatever it is. But that's the kind of money they're dealing with in Congress now. Trillions and beyond. Frillions, as Dana Lesh would say. This is $14 billion. As such, though, it's the largest contributor to wildlife restoration ever for wildlife conservation. And so while a lot of people are out there going, oh, all these gun buyers and all these gun sales and ammunition sales, but you know what? We pay for our own. We pay for the DNR. We pay for wildlife conservation. We pay for we pay our own way for habitat restoration and stuff like that, because what we pay for goes towards it. Now, they want to take it and use it for anti-violence programs, so that we can have more social workers in Chicago and Minneapolis and actually Detroit's doing better. But and that's because they had a tough on crime stance going. But, Derek just said quadrillion comes after a trillion. Okay, that's good. So thank goodness. We don't probably have to not worry for a little while until they start getting beyond what they can count in trillions that they're going to give away to people who don't need it or who just cross the border and don't pay into it. The quadrillion figure, when we start hearing them talking about quadrillion deficits, then we're in real trouble, okay? So at any rate, I think that it's interesting that we do pay all our own way when it comes to wildlife conservation funding. And that should be something that you can, when if you've got your, let's say like Theron says, you're at a cocktail party having your white wine and your crustless sandwiches, and somebody goes, man, can you believe all that money that people are spending on gun sales and stuff this year? And you go, yes, but did you realize that 10 to 11% of that goes towards conservation and wildlife funding? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, never mind. Okay. So, at any rate, let's see. Why are permit applications up in constitutional carry states? You may ask that. Maybe you didn't even think about it. I have, because it worries me a little bit that when you get a whole bunch of states that are having constitutional carry, and there's up to like, how many is it? I want to say there's like 23, almost half the states now are 18 or 23, and whatever, they are states that do not require a permit to carry a gun, okay? You don't have to get a CPL, a concealed pistol license, or a CCW, the old concealed carry weapons permit, things like that, okay? But why are so many of these states that are enacting it, why are the permit applications going up? And the reason is that it has to do with reciprocity with other states, okay? Now, it may be totally fine that you live in, let's pick somebody, well, we know like Vermont and stuff like that. So let's say you live in a state, though, that has a constitutional carry or permitless carry. So you're fine. You can strap your firearm on your hip. By the way, what's on your hip today? I'm wearing Springfield XDS 45, okay? So at any rate, in a Crossbreed Super Tuck Deluxe inside the waistband, loaded with Barnes TSX all copper leadless rounds that did pretty well, okay, in our tests. So at any rate, let's see. So let's say that you live in a state that doesn't have a permit, and so you're able to carry all you want. But then you go across the border over to Michigan, and Michigan says, well, we have reciprocity with 38 states or something like that, that if you have a license in your home state, then you can carry in our state. And you go, oh, well, that's wonderful. But your home state does not, but you don't have a permit. You don't have a license over there. So Michigan can claim, well, we have no way of knowing that you know about gun laws and things like that. So we don't recognize reciprocity from your home state as a permitless carry or a constitutional carry. You have to have a permit. So while it may be nice for your home state to have constitutional carry, unless that is across the country or unless there is reciprocity where they recognize, and that would be specifically say in their firearms law, that if the person is from a constitutional or permitless carry state, they are allowed to constitutionally carry or permitless carry in Michigan, say, then you're out of luck. So I can see really right now why these states are experiencing an increasing number. So people suddenly, oh man, I can carry a gun, that's great. But I can't go across the border to Michigan or Ohio or Pennsylvania or someplace else and have them recognize it? Not unless you have a permit. So that's something to think about. When you talk about wanting to have constitutional carry in your state, that's a good thing. But if you plan on carrying in other states, still check the laws and make sure that you have to, that you have a permit that is recognized and has reciprocity in those other states, okay? Let's see. Hackers hit Illinois police database of gun owners. Gosh, this is the second time this has happened. It happened, in the UK, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? And who would have guessed? I think it was in England, yeah. The hackers specifically wanted to find out the names and addresses of the people that had gun permits. Okay. Well, now here we have hackers had hit Illinois, and they hit the FOID card database, okay? And because they keep a list, just like Michigan doesn't have a list for long guns, but Michigan does have a pistol registration. So what happens is, you get some hacker, and we're not necessarily talking about some, 15-year-old kid in a basement, or even somebody in Russia who is wanting to hack into something. We're talking about maybe it's somebody with an agenda, like, gee, we want to find out who has the guns in our state, and we're going to protest outside. Or maybe they're even worse than that. Maybe they're like, hey, we want to find out who's got guns in our state and what their addresses are, and we're going to go steal them. Now we know where to target the homes that have firearms in them, okay? Well, the official story out of the Illinois State Police, at least at first, was there was an attempted breach of personal information, but that hackers weren't able to actually gain access. Now, remember that. That's what the state police said first, okay? Now, it's interesting because that is a government agency that's trying to cover its ass, okay? Oh, yeah, they tried to get in, but they weren't able to get anything. No, nothing to see here, nothing. We can move along, okay? However, they're finding out something different, okay? Apparently, the Illinois State Police went to individual gun dealers that the hackers breached the security protocols and said that the gun dealers sharing this information, actually that shared with this writer, they didn't want to be identified because they were afraid that the state police would come back and rat them out or get mad at them or arrest them or pull their licenses for talking to the public and telling the truth. But what it turns out is that, and now they've actually, the Illinois State Police officials said the information of 2,000 FOID card holders have been accessed. Okay, the personal information, like addresses and what they have. Now, 2,000 FOID card holders is only about less than 1% of the, actually way less than 1%, 0.0008% of the total number of FOID card holders in the state. But it's a start, okay? And who knows? How did they do it? Did they pick people that only have 10 or more guns or what? And who were these hackers? Okay, so it's kind of interesting, and it is a major black eye for the state that they, their database was breached, and B, that they lied about it and said, they tried to get in, but they didn't, so nothing to see here. Okay, and then they had to come out and actually tell people. Interesting. By the way, speaking of trying to tell people what you want them to believe, there's a whole, you know, everybody knows about the guy Chipman that is nominated to be the ATF leader, okay, the director. And he is, I want to say, he has got a documented history of working for and was the spokesman for, you know, Mothers Demand Action and every, all the different anti-gun groups and stuff. He spoke to Congress about how, and actually he's outright nasty about gun owners and how if they think that they're going to stand up to somebody with their little guns, you know, then they got another think coming type of thing. And so, but Jen Psaki, who is that's Psaki, the, what do they call her? Peppermint Patty, I think it is. Is it on, she looks like Peppermint Patty from the old Charlie Brown, TV specials that were on. But, She actually came out and said that this was just on the 5th, just a couple days ago, that if somebody is opposing Chipman running for ATF and where they, you know, vote him in and decide that they're going to allow him to be the new confirmation, the new ATF, the director of the ATF, then you are actually, what that means is you oppose ending violence, gun violence. Oh, I didn't realize those two. So if we oppose a guy as the head of the ATF who is violently anti-gun, by the way, was involved with the Waco shootout and all that kind of stuff and the burning of the of the compound out in Waco. All that kind of stuff. If we're against having him be the head of the ATF, then we're against ending violence. It is amazing that we even. I have to read these things, folks, because I have to talk about them on the weekend. You need to know about these kind of things going on, and I'm hoping that your radar goes up and you listen to some of these things and hear what's really going on out there. But a lot of people don't even know there's an ATF directorship up for confirmation and don't even know the background of the guy. And I want to say, if we had somebody who was going to be the head matter of fact, they already say this one. If you're going to have somebody who's with the Department of Energy and they have any ties to an oil company, oh, no, you can't do that. That's a conflict of interest. But this guy, David Chipman, he is a known anti-gunner, has got video after video of him complaining about gun owners and why he doesn't think people should have semi-automatic firearms and stuff like that. But no, we're supposed to say that if we don't like him, then we're against ending gun violence. I don't know. So let's see here. We've got, this is interesting. who doesn't remember back last summer when the McCloskeys, that's Mark and Patricia McCloskey, they were the people in St. Louis who were out defending their grounds against the Black Lives Matter and Antifa folks, remember, that were storming into the gated neighborhood. And he came out with his AR-15, and she came out with her little, Bursa Thunder 380 or something, holding it so poorly, let's say. But remember, they arrested them and said that, they were pointing guns at people, and it was terrible. And the governor said, don't go there, because they were defending their property and defending their lives and against people who said, we're going to come in and kill you and burn your house down, and I'm going to take your bedroom and all this kind of stuff. And so So what happens is the governor says, don't go there, because I'm just going to pardon them. So after a whole year's worth of goofing around and trying to charge them with things, and they actually got them to plead to a lesser misdemeanor, but it meant that they had to give their surrender their firearms and had to pay a bunch of fines and stuff. Well, guess what? Now Missouri Governor Mike Parson has officially pardoned them. And so pardoning them absolves them of all issues, okay? And so now, the official pardon absolved him of all wrongdoing and nullifies all judgments and orders. So now he's out there, he wants his guns back. Oh, that'll be great. I want to say, and he's actually filing suit, and since he's an attorney, he's defending himself, and I think that he will do super well in this, because remember the district attorney in that area said that they were specifically doing it from a political standpoint. So we'll watch this story, and I'll keep you posted. But good luck with the McCloskeys. I hope they get their guns back. I also hope they take a gun training class so that they can properly hold and target their guns instead of the way they did on the videos. But that's okay. At least he had one. Okay. Now let's see. And by the way, he was a liberal attorney, and he had a gun. So I got to say, remember that there are Democrats out there. I don't think he's a liberal attorney. He's now more of a conservative attorney, because he saw what can happen. They turn on you, okay? Just like they're turning on, not really. They're on Cuomo there. Can you imagine the people that are all standing up and going, well, yeah, he did that. He kind of touched them, and he said inappropriate things. But look at all the good he did for COVID. Well, not so much the nursing home thing. But, yeah, he's a good guy. We should let him go. That whole touching-feely thing, and that was a misunderstanding. they start to turn on themselves, and then they catch themselves and go, oh, gosh, we're a bunch of hypocrites, okay? Let's see. More than 120 guns were stolen from unlocked cars in Tallahassee. Okay, I got to say, there is, and this was, what's the period of time? Let's see. 120 guns were reported stolen from unlocked vehicles this year in Leon County and Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, 120 in 10 a month? 2 a week? Guns being stolen from unlocked cars? You know, I don't even like to leave my car unlocked. Well, first of all, I don't have guns in my car. If the gun is in the car, it's on my hip, okay, and it's going with me wherever I'm going. But I don't even like to leave a car unlocked for fear somebody will take my Yeti coffee mug, okay? And that's only worth $30. What is the deal with people having unlocked guns or unlocked cars with your guns in them, okay? I don't get it. So I don't think that would be my listeners out there. I believe that all of you are probably extremely safe with your firearms, both in your home and in your cars. And you have, I know, because I've talked to some of you, you've got car safes, the ones that are in the seats or in the consoles that lock, that, you know, matter of fact, guys have shown me ones they're super proud of. Oh, you got to see my new gun safe for the car. Okay. And then for people to leave their cars unlocked and leave guns in them, that just seems ridiculous. So there was another story I read this week that was about another journalist who wrote a story about being traumatized firing an AR-15 for the first time. Now, didn't this guy pay attention that people made fun of the first guy, a guy named Kunst, and he was Kunz mania, they call it, where the guy was traumatized. He had PTSD or PTSD for weeks after shooting an AR-15. Okay, and this guy here talks about reading it, and he goes, the recoil bruised my face. The brass shell casings disoriented me as they flew past my face. The smell of sulfur and destruction made me sick. The explosions, loud like a bomb, gave me a temporary case of PTSD. Okay. I want to say, now you're a man who's writing this stuff. Have you ever seen the videos of the 8-year-old girls out shooting AR-15s and enjoying it, or the 5-year-old boys, or all the various people out there? And you are on record saying, and the guy goes, I'm not a gun guy. I haven't handled a firearm since I squeezed off a few rounds from an old 22 at summer camp more than 35 years ago. Well, you're clearly not a gun guy. And by the way, I can't believe you're admitting it, okay, that you shot an AR. Now, anybody who shoots, and by the way, there are 20 or 30 million AR-15s out there and their variants out there. And so we all know what it's like to shoot an AR-15, especially in 5.56, okay? Now, one in a 308 is a little bit stronger than some of the other rounds that they're chambered in. I've got one in 50 Beowulf, okay? That one is not a 223, okay? And you're traumatized by it, and you admit it. You need to turn in your man card, your journalist card, whatever you carry, because the little girls that are out there shooting them are enjoying them and having fun, and you're traumatized. It just amazes me. The music's playing. We're about done for another week. I'm looking forward to next week again. We will talk more about guns, because I'm hoping that the politics drops down a little bit. I still want to get to the snub-nose discussion on the police detectives and stuff. But, it just takes us a little, takes me a little while to get back in the groove here. It's been fun, Derek. Good to see you through the double glass here. And this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.